Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Solarity Report. We have a special treat that I didn't expect. This is new. I'm in Basel, Switzerland at the World Freedom Alliance, and I've met a very impressive Danish politician, and I want to introduce him to you. And I'm asking him to describe recent events and his amazing accomplishments, and then how we can support him in the future. So please introduce yourself.
Well, thanks a lot, Catherine. It's great to meet you. And I'm a former investment banker from Credit Suisse, First Boston, and Morgan Stanley.
We're both investment bankers.
Isn't it funny? Yeah. And freedom fighters.
Yeah, you know. But you know, there's a certain tempo to an investment banker, and I always enjoy it. So tell your name first.
My name is Mads Palsvig. Uh-huh. And
you're from Copenhagen?
I'm from Copenhagen, but I worked for many years mainly in London, but also in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. And I used to live in Hong Kong.
I live in Copenhagen. Yeah, I'm married and three kids and a grandson. Mm-hmm. It just dawned on me that there's a lot of stuff that needs improvement in the world. There's a lot of power structures that are not very conducive to freedom. Uh-huh. For ordinary people. Yeah.
So when did you first become involved in politics?
It was 5 years ago. I decided to make a speech about how money is created and who benefits from the money creation. It's not the people. Actually, 1,000 people came to listen.
Wonderful.
Well, first it was at CBS, and 3,000 people had said they would come, and then it was canceled 2 days before. Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, they're not going to get away with that. So we booked a big place 4 months later, so I had even 4 months more to prepare. And we made this event quite big, and we invited 2,000 journalists. Mm-hmm. And none decided to come. Uh-huh. So that was like kind of, okay, so that it really is big, yeah? Yeah. That this is not allowed to come out, how the money is created. So the pressure is huge. And then 3-4 months later, a lot of people said to me, why don't you start a political party? And then we decided to do that. So that's how it all started.
So I was very impressed yesterday because I heard you describe how to maintain a political party and make it resistant from sabotage, and I thought, okay, this guy has a good chance of winning.
Well, we try to make life harder for the power structure that creates these horrible lockdown on ordinary people. And one of the things we did was look at what worked other places, and in 12 years ago in Iceland, it worked quite well for them.
Right.
With pots and pans outside the parliament. So we decided the 4th of November to do that.
So I'm going to stop you just a second. I was sitting in the United States and I saw that a bill had been introduced in the legislature mandate vaccines in Denmark, and I thought, ooh, this is very bad. And it was just when the Fed was putting out central bank swaps, they put out 9-1 to Denmark, and I said that had to be part of the, you know, I'm guessing, but I assumed it was part of the deal. So I thought if it's part of a central bank swap, it's going to be unbelievably hard to stop. And I'm thinking Denmark's toast, but I was wrong, right?
So yeah. So what we did was that they thought there would be no resistance. They would get away with it like they did with the, they came with the first vaccine law on vaccination in March, which only run for 1 year and expiring the 20th of March next year, where they put in that our Ministry of Health right now can forcibly vaccinate people in Denmark with the help of the police. Now they realized probably that the police would not go door to door and vaccinate their friends and family. So what they came up with was a proposal that it should be police, military, and private corporations.
So the next thing you know, you have
Blackwater, Academy, G4S, and all these big corporations, they would be allowed to do it. And there was no demand that the person going house to house was a Danish citizen, even spoke Danish.
Right.
So clearly designed for a foreign power to come in and forcibly vaccinate us legally. And so what we did when we saw that, I made a couple of videos about it, then we found out that there was a hearing. So 200 Danish organizations, charities, unions, different community groups were asked to come with their opinion on this. Mm-hmm. So what we did was, instead of just writing out a letter, sent this letter to them. What we did was we found out the names of the people in each of these 200 organizations responsible to give the answer, and their email addresses and their address, and we asked people to go in and write to them, and call them, and. Individually, so that we put a lot of pressure on it. And a lot of people did that. So that worked out very well, because there was a lot of pressure on it. And then at the same time, we decided to start with pots and pans outside the parliament, 24/7.
Yeah. So they couldn't discuss, could they hear themselves?
You could hear it on television. You could hear our pots and pans from outside. You could hear it.
Oh, literally. Fabulous. Yeah.
So that worked quite well. It annoyed them quite a bit, and in the end, it was only one party.
So the people's entrainment.
Yeah, that's right. And then in the evening, we would walk around Copenhagen with torches and get a lot of people supporting it. So it worked quite well.
And you stopped it, or you changed the language.
But with the result was that that there was one in the end, it was only one party voting for it, and the rest voted against it. And now they just came out with a new law on epidemics, where any mentioning of forced vaccination has been totally taken out.
Right.
And also there's more democratic control. There has to be a group in parliament with a member from each political party that has to agree to do it. To any program involving anything with pandemics, and also a separate independent group of people are involved as well to do
so
it.
So I argue that this is not a vaccine. Vaccine under the law is medicine, and as one person said yesterday, this is experimental gene therapy.
Mm.
Not only that, I don't know if it's been approved in Denmark, but the United States has approved the Pfizer vaccine, and Pfizer takes the position that their ingredients are secret. You can't know what they are.
Yeah.
So how do you know what it is?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor. I just know that we have in our political program that you should be allowed to sue the producer for any damages, and you should also know what the ingredients are, and it should always be an informed consent. You should not ever be forced to inject anything in your body. Your body is your choice, everything.
Right.
So that's why we are opposing this this law.
So I believe informed consent should include data on the true ramifications of vaccine injury. So you can look at informed consent. It can give you the statistical possibility of a material adverse event, but it doesn't begin to describe what the true costs
yeah.
of them are. Okay, so let's continue. So one of the things I discovered listening to you yesterday is that you have in Denmark a unique legal infrastructure because of what happened during World War II. And you have some very good ideas about how to use it. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, what we try to do is, obviously we're just a very small group of people, small political party, but what people are, they are risk averse. So what we do is they are risk averse, and also everything is very compartmentalized. So a lot of people who are journalists or politicians or leaders of the educational system, they think they're doing a good job. So what we do is then we try to make them fight among themselves.
I call it the Minionite thing. So all the Solaria Report subscribers know the Minionite things is where the bad guys kill each other. So okay.
Yes. I remember you told about it.
Okay.
It's we're trying to do that in practice because what we do is we make demonstrations in front of the health authorities, the different ministries, and then we always ask for a meeting. In the beginning, they gave it to us quite often. And if not, they would come out and talk to us outside. And then we can see results. I mean, for example, the police in the beginning did not have on their webpage all the exemptions from wearing masks. So what we then did was we went and made a demonstration in front of the head of the police. And we demanded to see him. We spoke with his secretary and we said, we want all the exemptions to be on the homepage of the police. this is wrong. You cannot legislate. You cannot choose what law you want to abide. You are the police. You're not legislating. You have to inform the population about the entire law. And they said they would give us an answer within a week. They changed the web page within 24 hours, even full of spelling mistakes. They were in that much of a hurry. And so that worked out quite well.
Right.
So that's the stuff we're trying to do, just to. You
know. So talk a little bit about the liabilities that the Danes experienced after World War II and how that relates.
Yes, exactly. So normally you cannot legislate retroactively, but in after World War II we did. There were even executions. So the people who are the biggest collaborators, they abided the law 100%, didn't do anything wrong from a legal standpoint, only from a morally standpoint. And they took all the gains they had. And also the unemployed people in Denmark were told, if you don't go to work in Germany, we'll not give you any unemployment benefit, as long as you can get a job down there. So they had to travel to Germany and work on the weapons factories down there, and the farms and what have you not. And then when they came back, they were actually punished because as collaborators, even though they didn't know how to feed their family if they didn't do it.
Now those laws are still on the books?
No, I presume not, but there's like a precedent, right?
But if it can be done retroactively, if there's a precedent to do it retroactively against collaborators, it could happen again.
Precisely. So if I was a principal in Denmark, I'd be very careful telling my students to wear a mask or to take a test where we don't know what people getting injured from the PCR test when you stick it through the nose up in the brain.
Right.
What injuries do you get from that? And then I wouldn't be surprised that some of these are such huge order followers that they would start vaccinating children in the schools and the places of education, and we're just telling them if you do that, you will be charged.
People in the system get afraid and then immediately start to obey. This is a way of saying, you know, be careful because, you know, it's not so safe to obey.
No.
When what you're doing is unethical or immoral.
That's right.
Okay, so the next step, though, you're looking to institutionalize the representation of freedom in Denmark. So tell us what you're doing now.
Well, what we're trying to do is we're just trying to get into parliament. And it's not, I mean, not necessarily because that's exactly what I want to do. I mean, I have great respect for people who want to set up villages like the Anastasia in Russia and all the villages. I think that's great. I just think that nobody else is doing it. So that's why I'm doing it. And I think my challenge...
You need to walk into the middle and turn the machine.
Yeah. Into the parliament. Because there is a structure people are familiar with. That's the representative democracy we have in Denmark.
And it's a good structure.
It could work, right?
Yeah.
If you have the right people there, and if you don't have cheating voting machines, for example, and.
But one, this gets back to your point, because you've made the point many times about the money creation. The challenge for the politicians, whether it's in the, you know, in the parliament in Denmark or in the United States or anywhere, is, you know, everybody's dependent on the guys who print the money. They're all dependent financially on the guys who print the money, and the guys who print the money are telling them what to do. And we see leaders all around the world saying, you know, I was told if I didn't do this, they were going to pull my swap lines.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I said yesterday, if the SDR gets another three, if the IMF gets another three trillion of SDRs, they're going to be running around the world buying everybody. So this comes down to who controls the money.
That's right.
And that's what you're saying. You're saying the people have to be able to create their own money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy that with the help of you and Richard Werner and a couple of other investment bankers who are here in Basel with us, we managed yesterday to come up with a proposal for the charter of the World Freedom Alliance, freedom from coercive and exploitative credit systems,
right,
ensuring that people control the money creation. So that sentence is a bit long, but it's hopefully something that will help the freedom movement to understand that that is also a very, very important thing.
So I think that's very good because it puts everybody, you know, it's a very clear, coherent way of saying this must be, for us to win, this is a condition precedent.
Yes.
And it's very, I think I told you yesterday, you know, we do scenario designs every year. I'm a big believer in, I don't believe in prophecy, I believe in being prepared for scenarios. So We have one axis, which is culture, and one axis, which is money. And the culture is human to inhuman, and then the money is they print, and the other is we print.
Yeah.
So I like to say, you know, between the human and the we print, you know, we're over here. And yes. I think everybody listening to us is clearly over there, but I think this is very good. When I wrote State of Our Currencies, which I published this year, which is my look at what they're up to on the, I call it the going direct reset, because that's what the central bankers voted on it. And it was so clear when you looked at the money that we had to bust the monopoly here. We absolutely had to bust the monopoly here. And the question, of course, is how do you do it? But you can't do it until everybody realizes, okay, well, you know, we're going to have to invent this. We're going to have to figure this out.
Yeah.
Now, I think you said one of your advantages is Denmark is a highly educated, highly literate, but still small country.
Mm. Yeah. And also in Denmark, we very much like to be in agreement about everything. Consensus is something very important for the Danish people. So right now there's a total consensus about backing the government, no matter what the costs are. But that can change. I mean, it could change tomorrow or next week or in a month. Oh, I mean, everything could change all of a sudden.
Right.
And we're just trying to keep attacking, throwing new things out, and hopefully something will work.
Well, if a people can envision that they can break through of the top-down money creation control, you know, there's always a way. So what can we do, somebody listening to this, what can they do to support you? How do we...
Well, I mean, it costs money to start a political process, obviously, so that is
something... Do you have a website?
JFK21.dk. JFK21.dk.
Okay.
So that was... I started the name, I picked the names, I started with a J in Danish, which means Earth, and then F, Freedom, and K, Knowledge. And the reason I chose that name was out of respect for John F. Kennedy, and because he had the executive order 11,110, where he actually issued, I believe it was $5 billion notes through the Ministry of Finance, and just like Abraham Lincoln created money to the benefit of the people, and that's how they won the Civil War back in the 1865, and I think that's why I did it, and also because my wife is Russian, so I knew, because in Denmark they're brainwashed to hate everything Russian, so they would say, oh, he's a Russian thing. So I decided, okay, what can I do? Just show my love for the best American president. It's difficult. So they kind of never came out as something, because I mean, hey, I love America. I've been working for American investment banks. I have I'm a huge fan of America. So I took this as a kind of a message to what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is...
Now, can we support you without it being accused of foreign interference in elections and da-da-da-da?
I suppose so. I mean, there is a law in Denmark where if you criticize NATO, it came out in November 2018, if you criticize NATO and they can prove in a court of law that person has been coerced or encouraged by foreign entity or foreign nation, then you could go to jail for 12 years. So, I mean, nobody has gone to jail yet, and I believe that law was to scare me. I came out nonstop talking about false flags, Operation Gladio, Operation Northwoods, Operation Ajax, Gulf of Tonkin, the crying nurse in 1991 who turned out to be a princess of the Kuwaiti. She was not a nurse, she was a princess living in New York. And all these false flags, talking about them, and so I maybe they did it to scare me or people who want to follow me. I don't know.
When Thomas and I were in Copenhagen, he was giving a speech, and we went as a lovely group of, you know, Einsteiner, and he was right in the middle of the speech, and he said something. We had interviewed Niels Harrit that morning.
Yeah.
Which it's up on the Slayer Report, and he said something. It was just a tangential comment where he mentioned NATO. And a man broke into the speech from the audience, very respectable looking fellow, but total fear in his voice. And he said, "You must not criticize NATO because you and all of us can go to jail." And you could tell he was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And NATO wasn't the topic of conversation. Thomas, you know, was tangential. But the guy was terrified, and you thought, what is going on here?
They control us or try to control us with fear. So that's why I think it's important for us to be fearless. So obviously when that law came out, I made a lot of videos really going through all the crimes that that NATO had been committing. Uh-huh. So what do you want to do? You want to sue me? Yeah, take me to court. Go for it. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, because that would bring so much attention to all the, you know, because a lot of the Operation Gladio criminal action, you know, that's very well documented.
So mm-hmm. Exactly.
It would just bring, okay, well, I have to tell you, it was a great pleasure meeting you. If there's anything we on the Salier Report can help you do, I think what you're doing is fantastic. It's right on point. I agree with you. You have to walk in the middle of the machine and turn it. And
yes. Someone has to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we should
absolutely.
Do both. I mean, bottom up and top down, we should do both, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. But I think, you know, it's very clear. If we concede, we're in a war between the people who print money and the producers.
Yes.
And much of what happened in the 2016 election had nothing to do with Democrat versus Republican. It was the printers versus the, you know, the people who dig for the, you know, who grow the food and dig for the oil. It was the producers versus the printers. Mm. And so we've got to take back the money creation. The other thing I was going to mention to you is when I wrote State of Our Currencies, I spent more time reading the history of central banking, and one of the things that came out, it's very interesting, was if a society approves or legalizes usury, it is a fait accompli, they will fail.
Mm.
It's a matter of how long it will take them to fail.
Yeah.
And so when you look at when America essentially made usury legal in the 90s, it was just a matter of, you know, and so here we are.
Yeah.
Again. Okay, well, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. We're in cahoots, so let us know.
Excellent.
What you can do to
appreciate it,
you.
Catherine.
But we, I would note that we're closing today on the day not only of the winter solstice, but the Great Conjunction.
Yeah.
So this is a very auspicious time for you to return to Denmark and I would say revitalize our faith and freedom.
We all try to do it. Thanks, Catherine.
Have a great day. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on the Salieri Report.